You're listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness from LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.
It's Unnecessary Roughness, presented by the Jewelers of Las Vegas.
12 straight weeks in National Football League, that's tough. That's hard on the body. You saw Max Crosby get a hell of a job coming out there. Colton Miller coming back. For those guys to come back and now have an extra, you know, 7 or so days to get ready before we play the Vikings is huge for our team. It's also an opportunity for us to reset mentally. You know, it's been a lot of trying times this year. You know, a lot of ups and downs. And you sit back, you reset, you think about it, you spend some time with your family, you start missing football again. That Friday, that Saturday, Sunday, you're not playing. Get these guys back in the building on Monday and we're ready to roll.
This is Unnecessary Roughness. Broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio. Here's your boy Q.
Interim head coach Antonio Pierce right there talking about the bye week and talking about what the bye week feels like when it comes to being a player. And, of course, they look forward to the rest. They embrace the rest. But all of a sudden, Thursday come around. Thursday night football is about to take place. Week 13 is going to be going on. They're not going to have any Week 13 action to worry about. They don't have to worry about a walkthrough tomorrow. They don't have to worry about an injury report. Sunday, they're going to wake up, and they're going to be ready to go through their normal routine, and their normal routine won't be there because there is no game. And, again, they embraced the break. They embraced being able to get a little bit of healing back to their body. And, of course, they're not going to be 100%, but it'll be a little bit better having that time off. But I can only imagine, you know, what it's like not having an actual game to be a part of this upcoming weekend. And of course, the Raiders do not, as they finally hit their bye week in week 13. And then they'll come back next week and start to prepare for the Minnesota Vikings. Of course, we'll do the same, start to prepare for the Minnesota Vikings next week as the Raiders start to do the same. We kind of like to run side by side with the silver and black here on Unnecessary Roughness, Raider Nation Radio 920. Got my man Ari in the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio hitting you with little Snoop Dogg coming in right there. I'm not mad at that. Only in town for the night. All right, I see you, Ari. Ari's trying to send some messages. He's trying to send some messages.
I'm the life of the party. That's
there
right.
There you go. Ari's the life of the party, even though he's the guy that never shows up to the party. Maybe that's to your point.
Yeah.
You're the life of the party so much, you ain't even got to show up.
Well, yeah, I'm only in town for one night.
There it is. Hey, you man, you heard it, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. You heard it right there. My man Ari spoke on it. He said he's the life of the party. I'm okay with that. I'm at the home studio. Of course, it's Studio Q. We're being brought to you today, as we are every single day, by the Jewelers of Las Vegas. If you're looking at the calendar and you're realizing that you've got to make some decisions, don't make decisions like I do. I always wait till the last second, and whenever I go out and decide I want to buy some gifts for family and friends, I just get what's left, right? Because normally there's not too much. So go ahead and make a decision while you still have time to make a good decision. So check out my folks at the Jewelers of Las Vegas. Go ahead and get something custom. That's the way to go. Get something custom, because then you know that someone's not going to show up at the job and have the same thing and be like, wait, hold on. Wait a minute. How are you rocking that when I'm rocking this? So if you want that to happen, you don't get something custom. But if you don't want that to happen, which none of us do, go ahead and get something custom. Check out my folks over at the Jewelers of Las Vegas. I'll tell you a lot more about them throughout the course of the show. Also want to let you know about the guests that we have coming up on the show, as we do each and every day. Always happy to have our very different, always a very wide range of guests that we have. And at 2:30, he joins us every single Thursday as Vinny Bonsignor from Raider Nation Radio 920's Morning Tailgate with Clay Baker and Lindsey Brown. And then also the Las Vegas Review Journal. And, of course, Vinny's been he's been after it, man. He's been getting after it a lot, had a lot of stuff he's been writing about. Of course, I've been listening to what he's got to say on the Morning Tailgate, and he's been talking about the team right now, the 2023 team, the coaching staff, the roster, but he's also looking to the future at the same time. So Vinny's kind of doing double duty. We'll talk all things silver and black with Vinny Bonsignor coming up at 2:30, as we do each and every Thursday. Our good friend Gilbert Manzano from SI Now, Monday Morning Quarterback, longtime beat writer here in Las Vegas. He's now on the big stage, man. He's Monday Morning Quarterback. He's on the national stage doing it real big. Always like when he joins the show. He'll join us at 3 o'clock. We'll talk all things NFL. We'll scatter shoot with all the conversations, including the fact that there's finally a flexed Monday night football game. The Eagles and Seahawks have been flexed in week 15 to Monday Night Football, and then the NFL Network is going to get a triple header game. So instead of getting Kansas City at the Patriots on Monday Night Football for week 15, now you're going to get the Eagles and the Seahawks week 15. And then there's going to be a Saturday triple header on NFL Network. That's December 16th, the Vikings at the Bengals, the Steelers at the Colts, and the Broncos at the Lions. That's all happening on NFL Network. So a little bit of moving and shaking when it comes to the schedule for the NFL. And, you know, that's something we found out before the season, that they were going to have the opportunity and the capability of flexing not only Sunday night games, as we're used to already, but also Monday night games and Thursday night games. And I thought for a second maybe there was a chance that Raider-Charger game was going to get flexed out of Thursday night, but it's not. They're already past the window when they were able to flex it, so that game is good to go. So if you have tickets to that game, don't worry. It's not going anywhere. And that was always the big question I had. Okay, so if you're traveling from out of town and you're expecting to go to a Monday night football game like you know, the Patriots fans might have been, then again, the Patriot fans might have been like, yeah, forget that. We're not traveling anymore to see this team because they're so bad. But just say that they were and they already had everything planned out and they were expected to be there a certain day and then leave at a certain time. How does that all of a sudden change their travel plans? And, you know, I feel like it's a pretty big inconvenience for fans. But as we know, the NFL is all about the almighty dollar. The NFL is all about getting the most eyeballs on his product, and whatever it could do to have everybody talking about his product is what they're going to do. So I think we could all agree some of the primetime games aren't really what they cracked up to be, like this past Monday Night Football game. You want to talk about a game that should have been flexed? That Bears-Vikings game should have been. Was it Bears-Vikings? Was that who it was? Was it the Bears-Vikings? Is that the game, Ari?
That's how bad it was. You don't even remember.
I don't
yes,
remember.
Yes, it was.
I just remember it that it was 12.
Bears
yeah, 12 to 10. Bucks. 12 to 10. That's what I remember. I remember the score and how bad it was and the fact the Bears won without even scoring a touchdown.
Was it four interceptions, Dobbs?
Yeah, four interceptions off of Dobbs, and Justin Fields fumbled the ball twice. And I mean, it was bad business. But that's a game that should have been flexed out, but they didn't catch up to it in time. But they have flexed the Patriots and the Chiefs game in Week 15. So we'll talk to Gilbert Manzano, all things NFL, coming up at 3 o'clock. Lincoln Kennedy, Raiders color commentator, he joins us each and every Tuesday and Thursday. On Tuesdays, we kind of look back at the last game. On Thursdays, we preview the upcoming game. Of course, there is no upcoming game this Sunday, so we'll just talk scattershoot, all things silver and black. And I also have to ask him about this game coming up on Friday at Allegiant Stadium when it comes to Washington, his alma mater, taking on Oregon for the Pac-12 championship, number 3 versus number 5. And I remember talking to him briefly about it in the press box on Sunday right before the Chiefs game, and he said, man, I'm worried about Oregon. And ever since Oregon, who's only lost one game in the season, which happened to be to Washington, ever since they lost that game, they have been cooking with grease. They've been playing really good ball. So that's I understand. Let's just put it like that. I understand why he's concerned about the Oregon Ducks, because they look really stinking good. And look, this is going to be an opportunity for Washington to claim their spot in the college football playoffs. So this is a huge, huge game for Washington, obviously a huge game for the Oregon Ducks as well. So Lincoln Kennedy will join us at 3:30. So those are the guests that we have live on the show today. Vinny Bonsignore at 2:30, Gilbert Manzano, SI Now, Monday Morning Quarterback at 3, and Lincoln Kennedy at 3:30. Also, we'll hear from some of the Raider assistant coaches that Vinny had an opportunity to catch up with earlier this week. We heard from passing game coordinator Scott Turner on yesterday's show. So I believe Rob Leonard will be one of the guys that we hear from, and maybe Kennedy Polamalu if we can squeeze him in as well throughout the course of the show. And well, most importantly, you, Raider Nation, 702-365-9200, the don'tbebroke.com text line, 69187, keyword R&R. As of right now, that's still the don'tbebroke.com text line, 69187, keyword R&R. Of course, we'll give you a heads up when that changes, but it will be changing sooner rather than later, where it's all one phone number, just the Raider Nation listener line at 702-365-9200. You can call or text that one, but not quite yet. As soon as we get there, we'll definitely let you know. I just think it's going to be a whole lot more convenient for everybody involved. So we're looking forward to that. Also, we have winning on the way. How about the Mountain West Championship game? Had a couple people hit me up just by way of text or Twitter. I was like, hey, man, are you guys going to have tickets to the Mountain West Championship game? And I said, we're working on it right now. Our guy Craig in promotions does everything he can to make sure we get the best tickets in town. And guess what? On my way to Studio Q, I got the text message. Boom, Q. We got tickets for you for the Mountain West Championship game. Go ahead and give them out this afternoon on Unnecessary Roughness. So you heard the man. Going to give out a pair of tickets on Unnecessary Roughness, and then Clay will give out a pair of tickets tomorrow morning on the morning tailgate as well. So multiple chances to go to Allegiant Stadium on Saturday and check out UNLV hosting Boise State for the Mountain West Championship. That's something that's going to be exciting, fun. And Coach Barry Odom, we're definitely rooting for him and the UNLV Rebels. What a season they had after all the seasons of being in the dark. Now they're playing really good ball. So hopefully UNLV is able to seal the deal come Saturday. But you'll be there to check it out. We got a pair of tickets that we'll give out throughout the course of the show. So that's kind of the lineup that we got for you. We're going to have a busy show like we always do. So let's go ahead and jump into the opening drive.
The opening drive of Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM is brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury. It's about the recovery.
So want to jump into a subject that I think is going to be somewhat fun, right? We're always so serious. Why so serious? I think this will be somewhat fun, and I'll explain what I mean. The question that I throw out there is, what is it that you want to see from this team the most these final five games? It could be team-related. It could be individual player-related. Just what is it that you really want to see? Like, when you know, okay, the Raiders are playing on Sunday, I can't wait to see this. And my example is, because right now you might, I don't quite know what you mean, Q. My example is last year, there became a certain point of the season, and I don't know exactly what week it was, but I remember I kept saying, man, I just want to see Josh Jacobs win the rushing title. Josh Jacobs is having a hell of a season. He's right there. Man, Nick Chubb is right there. But I think that, and Saquon Barkley's right there behind him. I think Josh Jacobs could do it. So that was one. I mean, I always want to see the Raiders win. I mean, that's the obvious. Want to see them win every single game. If it was up to me, they'd be 17-0. I'd be like Gangsta Raider. They'd be 17-0 every single year, right? But it's not up to me. So the game inside the game is really what I started looking at. And I was like, man, just want to see Josh keep you know, running and running and running and have an opportunity to win the rushing title. How cool would that be to see a guy in the final year of his deal win the rushing title? Well, that happened. It came to fruition. So that was one of the things that I was looking forward to in the, you know, the back end of the season, knowing that the season hadn't gone the way that the Raiders wanted or Raider Nation wanted the game to the season to go. So I thought that's something really cool. That'd be a nice little feather in the cap. I would say, well, there's two things that I want to see. There's two things, because I thought that was awesome that Josh Jacobs was able to do that. Two things I want to see, and I'm really kind of focusing in on. And one is an individual, and two is a team thing. The individual has to do with Max Crosby. And this is, I'll put an asterisk next to it because I don't know the health of his knee. We all saw the balloon. We all know that he, you know, had the bacteria in his knee, and that's all bad. I mean, very bad. But he was able to get out there and play against the Chiefs. So I'm hoping and I'm thinking that a week off, he's probably going to be well-rested and be able to get some treatment and get back out there. But I would love to see him achieve a career high. I mean, hell, I'd love to see him win Defensive Player of the Year. I think it's a little difficult to do that, especially with a team that's only won a handful of games, right? I mean, they haven't. I don't think the Raiders have won enough games for Max to get that title. But I would love to see him either lead the league in sacks or just have a career high. And I believe his career high is, what, 12.5 that he had last year? He's right there at 11.5 right now. So that's very attainable. But the guy who's in first, I believe, is Danielle Hunter. And he's got 13.5 sacks right now. Max is tied for six with 11.5. I would love to see the season get wrapped up with Max Crosby leading the league in sacks. Again, I don't think he'll win Defensive Player of the Year because I don't think the Raiders have won enough games for that. Now, if he surprised me and he does, fantastic. That's even better. That's a cherry on top. But if Max can find a way to lead the league in sacks, that would be awesome. I think that'd be a hell of a thing for him, knowing what he puts on the line each and every game, knowing that he doesn't want to come out the game at all, knowing that he wants to put on for the team, knowing he wants to be the leader of the squad, and he is the leader of the squad. I think that that would be a great personal goal for him and just something fun for us to kind of monitor as fans. Like, I remember on Sunday, sitting there in the press box, and all of a sudden he got that sack of Patrick Mahomes, and I was like, all right, little fist bump, right? Can't cheer from the press box. I'm not doing that. Not trying to get my credential pulled, but still, a little fist pump, like, all right, cool, Max got home. Got another sack. That's great. Again, a guy that works so hard, you like to see, at least I do, I like to see people rewarded when they work really hard. I think that that's a cool thing. And Max works his tail off. I mean, he works circles around people. So to see him lead the league in sacks would be great. Again, he's only two sacks behind Danielle Hunter from the Minnesota Vikings. Oh, by the way, Minnesota's coming to town in week 14. So watch out for that. So that's the personal individual thing that I'm really going to be focusing on. And then as a team, and this is something that I pointed out at the beginning of the season, before the season even started, if you remember, I said I was going to put a poster up in that wall right there in the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio, and I said 40 sacks, 20 interceptions. 40 sacks, 20 interceptions. That's what this team needs to have if they want to win a lot of games. Now, I don't think that they're going to hit that number, and that's okay. They've already had more interceptions than they did all of last year, so that's a win. They have 10 right now. They only had 6 last year. So that's a nice feather in the cap. And now whatever they do on top of that is even better. But the defense has played well. They're at 28 sacks right now. 40 sacks is not unattainable. I mean, they could actually hit 40 sacks. And I think that would be really big for this team. Again, the defense is playing well. The defense, in my opinion, outside of Buffalo, have really kept the Raiders in each and every game. I know it got a little out of hand last week against the Chiefs, but that was at the end. And that's when you already knew that the offense was doing nothing. The offense was going to absolutely do nothing to support them. So I think that 40 sacks is still achievable. And who knows, maybe 12 to 13 interceptions. I mean, I don't expect them to all of a sudden have five games left and them rip off 10. But then again, you never know. They've had three in a game, so maybe they could. Who knows? But that's something that I pointed out as kind of something statistical that I was looking at for this team before the season started. And, well, the defense has done well. So those are the couple things that I'm really focused in on. Obviously, the big picture is winning. It's always going to be winning, right? Want to see Antonio Pierce continue to grow as an interim head coach. Obviously, Bo Hardigree, I hope he continues to evolve as a play caller and get better. But just, like I said, the game inside the game, for me, that's what I'm looking for. Max Crosby to lead the league in sacks. He's only two behind Danielle Hunter. Hunter's number one. Crosby's tied for six. Who does he have between him? T.J. Watt, 13.5, tied for the lead. Khalil Mack, 13. Hell, Khalil Mack had half his sacks against the Raiders. If you think about it, he had six sacks just in week four alone against the Raiders. You take away that game, Khalil Mack's not at double-digit sacks. He really ate. Myles Garrett of the Browns, also tied with Khalil Mack with 13. Josh Allen of Jacksonville, he's there with 12 at 5. And then Max Crosby is at number 6, 11.5, tied with Micah Parsons of the Cowboys with 11.5. So that's a pretty good company right there. I mean, he ain't hanging out with no slouches. I mean, all those cats can get after the quarterback in a major way. So he's already got a hell of an achievement going on. And I do believe, and I've got to go back and look at it, but I do believe his career high as far as sacks goes is 12.5. And he had that last year. I know his rookie year he had 10. And then he took a little bit of a step back. But, yeah, so I think 12.5 last year was his career high. I'll go back so I make sure I'm not falsifying any kind of information or padding the stats or not padding the stats or taking away anything from him like Ari does when we do our win losses for our NFL games. He's always trying to steal a game here or steal a game there from you. He don't know what he's doing over there. His math is never mathing, but that's okay. We won't do that to Mad Max Crosby. So that's a question I throw out there to you. You know, obviously winning is most important, but what is it that you want to see from this team the most the final 5 weeks? It could be team-related. It could be individual player-related. It could be, you know, one of both. Just let us know. 702-365-9200 and the don'tbebroke.com text line is 69187, keyword R&R. Got multiple messages on the text line already. This one's from Glenn in San Jose. Since our running game is not as effective as it was last season, the time is now to utilize Mayer and Hooper more in the passing game to put the pressure on defenses these last five games. So there you go. Glenn in San Jose wants to see the tight ends involved in the offenses more than it has been. And I agree with that, especially Mayer, just because we all know that he's the future at the tight end position for the Raiders. Would definitely like to see him get more involved. And I do feel like it's coming along. I really do. And this upcoming game next week, week 14 against the Vikings, might be a good game to really utilize him because they do like to blitz. Brian Flores, their defensive coordinator there in Minnesota, loves to blitz. He loves to blitz. He loves to blitz. Like my wife loves the Hallmark Channel, he loves to blitz. So that might be one where Aiden O'Connell's able to get that ball out of his hand real quick and boom, hit Michael Mayer, the tight end, and have a really big games. And it's funny, you mentioned that the run game is not as effective as it normally was or it was a year ago. You're absolutely right. But the funny thing about that is Josh Jacobs is still like third in the league in rushing. Like if you go back and you actually look at the stats when it comes to running backs right now, Josh Jacobs is third. Christian McCaffrey is at 939 yards. He's first. Raheem Mostert of the Dolphins is second with 785. And there's Josh Jacobs right there, third, at 771. And he hasn't even had a good season. Like, how wild is that? Think about that. Because you're absolutely right, Glenn. The run game has not been what it was a season ago. And he's still sitting there at third in the NFL. And that, unfortunately for him, goes back to the conversation that a lot of teams have. And a lot of beliefs. Oh, you could just, anybody could be a running back, right? Because I don't think anyone, at least I didn't until I looked it up, think that Josh Jacobs was third in the league in rushing. I mean, if you thought so, if you just kind of in your head said, oh, yeah, he's having about third of the in the league rushing season, then you're better than me because I had to look it up to find that information out. But, Glenn, really good text, man. Definitely appreciate that. Sir Whiskey Ray said, Q and Ari, good afternoon, gentlemen. Loving today's topic. What I want to see from our Raiders these last five games is play competitive football and win 4 out of 5. All I want is this team to get some respect. That's all. That starts off by playing 4 quarters of competitive football these last 5 weeks. That's it, Q. Have a great show, Sir Whiskey Ray. Thanks so much for that text, my man. I do appreciate you. And that's tough. 4 out of 5 is not going to be easy, but I like the thought there. So thanks for the text. We appreciate you. Let's go out to the phone lines real quick at 702-365-9200. Let's talk to our guy, ABA Ivan Davis. It's been a minute. What's on your mind, brother?
Hey, what's up, Q? Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Following you, you know, with my ABA team trying to win this championship. What I want to see from the Raiders is exactly what they've been doing, buy in. Because the first step, I don't care what goes on or what you're doing, you have to buy in to the coach. Because you can't evaluate the coach unless everybody buys in. Well, actually, you can, because they'll buy in, and he's not the one. We can just see, do we have the talent? Because I'm thinking of, I mean, I see the effort out there against the Chiefs. I thought the effort was at max level. I'm thinking he doesn't have the pieces that he needs to do what he needs to do. And the offensive coordinator is stuck with Josh McDaniels' offense. So he almost doesn't get a pass. He almost gets a pass with his seats, but not quite.
Right.
Okay, so max effort so we can get a proper evaluation. Or what's going on. An excellent move getting rid of my man, the quarterback. I mean, I know his uncle personally, okay? And so, I mean, you know, it was time for him to go. It's just that simple. But anyway, love what you do, Q. I respect you highly for your job that you do with the Raiders. And thanks for letting me get this call. What's up, Raider Nation? Love you guys.
There he goes, ABA Ivan Davis. Good call, my man. Definitely appreciate you. We're going to go rapid fire real quick. 702-365-9200. We got Vinny Bonsignor coming up about 2:30. Let's get to David real quick. David, what's on your mind? Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
To see them throw the ball down the field more.
Okay.
I'd like to see touchdowns in the red zone. And the most important thing, I want to see Patrick Graham's defense work the middle of the field. I don't know if you remember, but it was when we first started with this guy, you talked to a reporter from New York, and she said he did the same thing in New York. So I haven't heard anybody talk about that much lately, but I want to see if he can defend the middle of the field. I think the defense is good, but he might need to switch what he does. If he has a history of doing this in New York and he's doing it now, we need to be able to defend the middle of the field. And if they do those three things, I'll be happy.
Hey, good stuff, David. And, yeah, that was Danielle McCartan from WFAN in New York. And, yeah, I remember that conversation. People bring it up all the time. And I'll say this. I know the middle of the field is still open and there's still issues, but the defense has been doing their job. The defense, for the most part, has done their job this year. And I really think Patrick Graham and his defense, what he's done as far as putting players in the right position, he's really stepped his game up from what it was when he first arrived with the Silver and Black to where he's at right now. Is there room for improvement? Oh, hell yeah. There's no doubt about it, David. You're spot on. But Patrick Graham, he gets 2 thumbs up from me with the understanding that, hey, you still got to build off of that. And you also need some of your players. They brought in a lot of players that haven't even stepped up and started to shine yet. Think about Tyree Wilson. He's been a no-show to the party so far. Ja'Corian Bennett really has been a no-show to the party so far. Right? Marcus Epps has been, he's been okay. Chris Smith has been really a special teams guy. I'm interested to see what that guy could do at the safety position, right? He was a later round pick, so I'm not expecting a whole lot from him. But at the same time, I would love to see what these guys are able to do. So the defense has really played a lot better, and it's not like they have all of a sudden a bunch of different dudes contributing. It's really been the Max Crosby and Robert Spillane show. I think Trayvon Merrick's done a hell of a job at the back end as well, though. I think that he's done a really good job, and that's also been assisted by Marcus Epps. Let's go get one more quick call in. How about Hardcore? Welcome to the show. Hardcore Raider, what's on your mind?
Hey, Q, how you doing, man?
I'm blessed, brother.
All right, so I'm actually going to stick with a similar theme as last year, and I'm going to do that because, you know, we look at the Raider history and the alumni and how hard it is to break, like, all-time records.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Jacobs is right now ranked 3rd of Raider running backs for all-time rushing leaders.
Nice.
He needs 396 yards, left this season, and he'll surpass Mark Van Egan to be the second all-time Raiders rushing leaders. And then he needs two more touchdowns, and then he'll be second in line for touchdowns. So when you look at it, it's like, you know, if you could have Marcus Allen, Josh Jacobs in the lineup for Raiders all-time rushing leaders, I think that's a huge you know, feature. And, you know, that's something, you know, if you get a chance, maybe you could ask him what it would mean to him to be second behind Marcus Allen if he breaks it at the end of the season. And that'd be a cool thing to hear his take on it and, you know, his respect for the Raiders and Marcus Allen and whatnot. But appreciate you. Keep up the good work.
Hey, that's a great call. I'm writing that down. Obviously, we're not going to see Josh until next week when they're, you know, taking on the Vikings, and I might not get a chance to see him until after the game in the locker room. But I'm so glad you dropped that little nugget. I didn't realize that. That's a hell of a thing as well. I mean, think about that. When you think about the Raiders and you think about running backs and you think the history of the Raiders and who they've had in that backfield toting the rock, and for Josh Jacobs to have the opportunity to be in that kind of rare air, and he's already done so many different things in his short amount of time with the team. He's already accomplished so many goals. But to be where you just said, you know, number two, and he can accomplish that by the end of the season, that would be awesome. And then on top of that, then you got to bring him back. You got to bring him back and say, hey, you know what? Keep on running, young man. What do they say in higher learning? Run, young man, run, young man, run. Didn't quite say it like that, but you get my gist. You get where I'm going with that, right? Or he's like, please don't say what they said in higher learning. Anything
break, break,
you
break,
do.
Don't.
Right, exactly. Don't do it, Q. Don't do it. 226 at the time. Hardcore. Great stuff. David, ABA Ivan Davis, great stuff. And, of course, the feedback on the don'tbebroke.com text line at 69187, keyword R&R. Again, what is it you want to see from this team the most these final 5 weeks? It could be team-related. It could be individual player-related. Whatever the case may be, you let us know. 69187, keyword R&R. Vinny Bonsignore, he joins the show next. It's Raider Nation Radio 920.
That was the opening drive of Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM. Brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury. It's about the recovery.
This podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness on LVSportsNetwork.com is brought to you by PortaSubs. Make sure you check out PortaSubs' 6-foot party trays. They're perfect for game days. You'll get your choice of 3 made-to-order classic subs made with premium meats and cheese on your choice of fresh baked bread, loaded with fresh veggies, toppings, and sauces. Game day 6-foot trays serve 12 to 16 people, so you can sit back and enjoy the game. Available at all Las Vegas area PortaSubs, neighborhood sandwich shops. Order ahead at PortaSubs.com.
Need to get to midfield. High snap. Mahomes brings it down. Plenty of time to throw. Now pressure from Coach. Flushes him out. Mahomes trying to get out of the pocket. And he's swung down for a sack. And it's Max Crosby who rolls off of him. And he breaks him over his leg for a sack on third down.
It's Unnecessary Roughness. Let's go inside the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore. Sponsored by Dos Caras Tequila and presented by the Realty One Group.
And Vinny Bonsignore joins us now on the phone lines here on Unnecessary Roughness, Raider Nation Radio 920. And Vinny, thanks so much for your time. As always, my man, definitely appreciate you. It's the bye week, but nothing ever slows down, really. Now, we don't have a game to cover, obviously, but the Raiders are always in the news. There's always some conversation, and, of course, a lot of it has to do with the head coaching position. Will he be? Will he not be? There's a lot of reports that are out there all the time, Vinny. There's going to be names that are thrown out there all the time. I did a whole podcast on it today. How do you decipher as an insider kind of what's real and what could potentially be BS?
Yeah, and that's always kind of hard because, you know, number one, you're going to have some agents that are talking, that are pushing their clients out there. So you always have to sort of be careful about that a little bit. But, you know, here's the thing. No matter what happens this year, and we all know this, the Raiders have to open up their head coaching job and their general manager job, which are both being held on interim basis by Champ Kelly and Antonio Pierce. They have to open up both of those jobs to extensive searches. And I think a wide net is going to be cast in this search for both positions. It's going to be a process. There's going to be a whole bunch of names that you're going to hear about. Now, it might lead right back to Champ Kelly and Antonio Pierce, and I think Mark Davis is definitely open to that. But he's also open to letting the process you know, lead where it will and let that guide the decision. So you're going to hear a lot of names, and some are legitimate, some you know, a little bit less than legitimate. But it'll be interesting when it's all said and done how many people Mark Davis and whoever, you know, is around him in this decision-making process ends up talking to, because I have a feeling they're going to talk to some very well-known names.
You know, you mentioned something that is very intriguing to me, and I've said it for a while now. You mentioned some is agents just pushing their client out there, and I feel like whatever this case is, if it's free agency, if it's potential trades, in this case a potential coach, I feel like it's always spicier when you add the Raiders' name to it. Plus, it builds some a little bit of intrigue throughout the course of the league as well. What have you found as you've done research and, you know, you've done your own digging as well on these subjects?
Yeah, and the other part of it is that this is an alluring job. Make no mistake of that. You know, the Raiders are set up, you know, here in Las Vegas. They've got their home determined. You know, that's not changing anytime soon. They're not where they were in Oakland, you know, in the 2015, the various cycles that they had where they didn't know where they were going to be playing, you know, ultimately. They know exactly where they're going to be playing. It's at a beautiful stadium, at Allegiant Stadium, with beautiful facilities. Money is coming in. That's only going to increase and get better over the years. So you have a desirable place that players want to play. You have an owner that wants to win flat out, and so this is a very attractive job, and the feedback that I'm getting and people that I'm talking to around the league is that that is definitely the case. So, you know, you're absolutely right. It's always enticing when the Raiders are involved, but now more than ever for really good reasons and really positive reasons for the Raiders, because people look at this as a desirable job.
You know, and you mentioned that it could all come back to Champ Kelly as the GM and Antonio Pierce as the head coach, and I don't think anyone in Raider Nation would have a problem with that. I love the energy AP's brought, and I've always respected Champ Kelly anyway, and I know how well-respected he is around the NFL. For that to potentially happen, how important are these five games that are left, especially for AP, and kind of what do you think he needs to show or needs to do?
Yeah, and that's a great question, because you don't know if it's going to be determined by wins and losses or if it's going to be determined by, you know, when you get to the end of the line here for the Raiders, wherever that might be. Is it one of those things where Mark Davis and the decision-making crew are just going to kind of see it and understand it and know it, regardless of what the record might look like? So I think it's going to come down to a lot of different factors. And I think as well, I think that, you know, if you're looking outside the building, this is a really good opportunity for Mark Davis to really sit down with a number of candidates and be open to being swayed, you know, be open to being impressed by somebody, maybe somebody that he's not even, it isn't necessarily even on the radar right now, but you sit and talk to that candidate and you come away thinking, wow, that's the guy that I want, you know, leading this franchise. So I think he's wide open at this point. And to answer your question, I'm not so sure that that's going to be determined on wins and losses, although it can't hurt if you win a bunch of games for Antonio Pierce. But even if he doesn't, I still think that there's going to be some other factors that come into play that may override whatever the results might end up being.
I wanted to ask you this, and this is a final question when it comes to coaches and potential coaches. How much do you think the playmakers, the dudes, the Max Crosbys, the Devontaes, the JJs, how much do you think that they'll be you know, involved in the search as well, or at least get their input?
Yeah, no, I think their input is definitely going to be not only welcomed but solicited. You know, and I don't think you have to talk to everybody in the building. You know, that's right. Not how this works. And I think everybody understands, you know, who the kind of the hierarchy is of this team. And to me, it starts with Devontae Adams and Max Crosby. I don't know that you have to go much further than that, because those are two players that absolutely have their finger on the. On the temperature of the room, they're wired correctly. They know what they would like to see. They know what's going on. You know, they've been all eyes and ears. In Devontae's case, he's been part of a winning program. So you're going to want to hear from those two players and maybe some others, but I don't think it's going to go much deeper than that. But absolutely, I think Devontae and Max Crosby are going to be heard from and be part of this process, not necessarily in the decision-making, but certainly as input.
Vinny Bonsignore from the Las Vegas Review-Journal and, of course, Raider Nation Radio 920's Morning Tailgate with Clay Baker and Lindsey Brown is our guest here on Unnecessary Roughness. Now I want to get into actual activity on the field. As the Raiders are on a bye week, they have five games left to go. At least they have five games guaranteed left to go. Whatever happens after that happens after that. But what would you like to see on the field from this team? And let's start with Aiden O'Connell. What do you think he needs to do? How can he show that he's continuing to improve?
Yeah, And I don't know, you know, some of this is going to be on the coaches and what they allow him to do or not to do. But but I think that, you know, it's incumbent on the Raiders, you know, we've already talked about this, obviously, trying to get a handle on what they actually have in Aiden O'Connell. And one thing I think that needs to happen at some point is for him to be handed the reins in a way that, you know, quarterbacks sometimes get handed the reins. Like, look, we need you, number four, to go win this game for us, or to go make this happen on this particular drive, you know, and for him to deliver in that way. Because I think that that's the differentiator between the good quarterbacks and the great quarterbacks. Can they consistently count on him, you know, to make big plays when big plays are needed? And, you know, we were bouncing this around on our show, and, you know, I've written about it as well. You know, when you look at the Derek Carr years, there was obviously a ceiling to Derek, and that's no fault of his. But he was, you know, an 11, 12, 16, 17, you know, level quarterback throughout his years here, which isn't bad. That's not a knock on him. But I think this in this league, you need top five, top six, top ten consistently type quarterback play in order to win at the highest levels. And I think that, you know, it would be great for the Raiders to be able to figure out by the end of this year, what is Aiden O'Connell's ceiling? Is it that top 15, maybe on a good year, top 12? Or is it beyond that? And if they don't believe it's beyond that, I think it's incumbent on them to go find somebody that they believe can be that, you know, 9 to 10 guy every single week of the year. Because, honestly, that's what you need to win at this level, at the highest level. And the Raiders have been kind of spinning their wheels in that regard for a long time. No disrespect to Derek Carr, but he had a ceiling, and that ceiling wasn't conducive to winning Super Bowls.
Right. No, you're right about that. And, you know, especially in the AFC, right, the AFC is so competitive. I mean, the West, we already know how tough it is, but the AFC in general, the conference, there's so much talent. There's so many great quarterbacks. It feels like you almost have to have one. So let me ask you this. If they decide that, okay, this isn't the guy that's going to take us where we need to go, is it go all in on whatever it takes to go get that guy? Or is it, well, we'll see what falls to us, or we'll not be quite as aggressive to go get that guy?
I am a firm believer that if you feel like you have your guy, now I don't know that anyone's going to trade out of the top pick, you know, if they have a chance at a Caleb Williams. But you know, the way this draft might play out, maybe number two or number three is up for grabs. And I think that if you fall in love with somebody, you got to go get them. And I think the Raiders are in a very unique position this year. Yes, they need, you know, offensive line help. And yes, they need some help elsewhere, but this doesn't feel like the massive type thing that it's been. Like the defense, for the most part, comes back next year.
Right.
You know, and there'll obviously be some additions made during free agency and the rest of the draft. But it's not like you got so many holes that you got to fill that, you know, giving up multiple draft picks to move up to go get your quarterback would be problematic, because it would leave you nowhere else to turn to fill some of those other holes. I think they've done a pretty good job filling those holes. So this might be that year where it's not, you know, a Swiss cheese roster where, okay, if it's going to take this, this, and this to move up in this particular draft to go get the guy that we think is going to be the quarterback of the future, I think they're pretty well situated to make that kind of a move. So, yes, if it takes that, if it requires that, I think the Raiders should be all in on that.
Vinny, we'll close out with this. I wanted to ask you about a couple players, again, in respect to the fact that there's five games left. Tyree Wilson, Jacorian Bennett, and Michael Mayer. How much do you want to see from these three guys to finish this season off, and what do you kind of expect from these three guys?
Yeah, I think Michael Mayer is on his way to being a really big-time player in the NFL, and I really like his future as an all-around full tight end that can block, that can be an asset in that part of the game, and be an asset in the passing game. I would like to see the Raiders try to tap into him more as a weapon, because I don't know about you, but every time the ball is in his hands downfield, he's rolling over people and jumping over people and gaining extra yards and multiple guys. He hasn't been taken down by one player yet. And so I think he's somebody that the Raiders really need to start looking at as a focal point of the offense moving forward. And maybe over these last five games, you know, they'll do that. You know, I think Jacorian Bennett has been on that roller coaster ride a little bit as a rookie, no fault of his own. And cornerbacks can sometimes be like that sometimes. Just look at Amik Robertson and the patience that it was required for him to, you know, finally turn into somebody that you can barely take off the field nowadays, and that wasn't the case 2 years ago. You were kind of like worried a little bit sometimes when Amik had to be pressed into duty early on in his career. That's no longer the case, and that's a testament to sometimes it just takes a little while. So I think that Jakorian, just keep getting out there, keep chipping away. And as he develops as a player, I think that, you know, that the Raiders have a chance to have a pretty good cornerback there. Tyree Wilson, man, he's got everything that you would look for in terms of the size and the explosiveness, the arm length, everything is there. And I'm really curious for him, where he started this season. He started way back. If this was a race, I don't think he would have been in the picture when that race got started. You know, right. He had to play catch up all the way throughout. And that's not a very easy thing to do for any player, let alone a rookie. So I'd like to see him take this off season, see what happens, over these last five games, and hopefully for him he can make some strides. But really, this is going to be all about the off season for Tyree Wilson. If I was him, I'm on speed dial with Max Crosby, saying, "Whenever you're going to be at the facility, I'm going to be at the facility, and when you leave, I'll leave. I'm not gonna leave a minute before you do, and I'm not going to show up a minute after you do." And give it this offseason for him to really focus just on football. Remember, this time last year, he was just coming off. He was in the early stages of coming off a serious foot injury that completely ruined, his offseason and training camp. Well, knock on wood for him that he stays healthy the rest of the way, because next offseason it's going to be 100% football. And I think with everything else that he has working for him, you might see that difference when it all gets started up next year. So big offseason for him. Big final five games. I'm not expecting him to, all of a sudden turn into Max Crosby, but he's got the skills to do that, and I think fans just need to have a little bit of patience with him.
I think that's a great point. I think the offseason, when it does arrive, is going to be huge for Tyree Wilson. I think you hit it right on the head with that point right there. Vinny Bonsignor from the RJ, and, of course, Raider Nation Radio 920's Morning Tailgate with Clay Baker and Lindsey Brown as well. What are you working on that we should be on the lookout for, Vinny?
Yep, doing a story on coincidentally some coaching candidates, putting together a little bit of a list of coaching candidates, and there's some interesting names that are on there, and then also sort of a bi-week look at what the Raiders' needs are as you project forward to the offseason, especially the draft, on the positions that they need to identify for next year, starting with quarterback.
That's a really good conversation, man. All right, I like that, Vinny. We'll dip into that a little bit later. I'll check out your articles because you're always putting out the fine work, and we definitely appreciate your time this afternoon, my man. Thanks so much.
All right, have a great show, brother.
Will do, will do. There you go. Great stuff right there. A good 15 right there. No, a great 15 right there with Vinny Bonsignor really breaking it down. Everything from coaching to expectations for certain players, what he would like to see from, these coaches and these players moving forward the last five games. And I think it's very important. And, man, what he said about Tyree Wilson and the offseason, I know there's still five games. We don't want to talk about the offseason just yet. But that mindset for that young man has got to be, okay, this was almost like a redshirt year. Now I'm going to go into the offseason, and I'm going to come back, and they're not even going to recognize me. They're going to have to check my ID at the door. That's what the mentality needs to be with Tyree Wilson. Really good stuff from Vinny Bonsignor. 2:47 is the time. We'll take a quick break, come back, get to your calls, get to your texts, close out hour number one. It's Raider Nation Radio 920.
You're listening to Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q. Broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
My guy, Gilbert Manzano, SI Now, Monday Morning Quarterback, will join us at the top of the hour. We'll talk all things NFL on SI. Deion Sanders, prime time. Coach Prime is a Sportsman of the Year. Not going to lie, I was like, is he the Sportsman of the Year? And then I thought about it before I said that out loud and said, well, who else would I put on the cover of SI as a Sportsman of the Year? And thought, okay. That makes a lot of sense. So we'll talk to him about that and all things NFL. That's coming up at the top of the hour. We threw the question out there to you. What is it that you want to see from this team the most the final 5 weeks? It could be team-related or individual player-related. Poncho out the 209 said, I was in mid-text and Glenn took the words out of my mouth. Ha! I'm with him, though. I want to see more tight end work, and I also want to see the defense improve on covering the middle. I feel like we get torched in that area, and still that's where the other offense thrives. When they go up against us. That's from Poncho in the 209. Really good stuff. Appreciate that. Let's go out to the phone lines real quick. Talk to our guy, Passionate Raider. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
What's up, Q? How you feeling today, man?
I'm blessed, brother. I'm blessed.
Hey, so give me the question one more time.
What is it that you want to see for this team the most the final 5 weeks? It could be team-related or it could be individual player-related.
Okay, so for team-related, Q, I just want everybody, all of us, I know there's a job to be done. I know there has to be a search. I know this about the coach. I know this. But I just really want everyone's heart just to be behind AP for the rest of this time, just for the sole fact that it makes his job easier, man. It's a hard situation to be in, but when you got people rooting and throwing this name and this name and already canceling you out before the season's even over with, it just makes it that much more complicated for already coaching a Raider team, man. So I just want to see the respect that AP deserves and hope that he keeps on getting it. Because he has made a difference on this team, Q. We don't know what's going to happen, but I just really hope that there's a place where AP stays on this team, man. What player-wise, what I want to see, I want to see Aiden's playbook and his development every week get better and better. I want to see Aiden looking at that second and third read ahead of the snap, knowing that if he knows he's got Devontae over here, he's already going to make that next play. Because I think that's going to be the staple for him moving forward. I think if we get some better old line play around this kid, he might be that slinger that we're looking for, Q. So that's all I'm looking. Just some good effort, some good support for AP. We're all here for him. He's doing what he loves to do, what we all love to do, supporting our team, man. And it's not as bad as it was, Q, a couple weeks ago. We know that, man. We do know that. So, hey, let's just be happy and roll with what we got, support with what we got, drink our coffee and enjoy our ride home after work, Q.
All right.
Have a good day, buddy.
Hey, you too, man. Passionate Raider right there. Thanks for the call. I appreciate you. I'll tell you right now, there's not a dude in that locker room that doesn't support AP. There's not one dude in that locker room that doesn't have his back. You can just tell by the way that they surround him. You can see the way that they talk about him. You can see the way that they talk with him. They all embrace him. And I think, for the most part, I would say 99.9% of Raider Nation probably supports Antonio Pierce as well, because it's not. It's just like Passionate Raider said. It's not as bad as it was 5 weeks ago. I remember November 1st. Well, I remember Halloween night when Coach McDaniels got fired. And, man, I didn't know what was going to happen next, right? I had heard rumblings that AP was going to get the interim head coaching position. Then the Raiders made it official, and then we got a chance to talk with them. And ever since then, I mean, at least the cloud has been lifted. At least the energy has been restored. The joy of coming back to work, not for me, but for the players, that is something that is there now. The team, people in the building. Everyone's feeling a lot better about themselves. I know it hasn't translated into a 4-0 start. It's been 2-2. And they've won against the two New York teams and lost against Miami and KC. I get that. But I think there's a ton of support for both Champ Kelly and Antonio Pierce for moving forward. They've got 5 games to prove what they can do. Coming up next, Gilbert Manzano, Monday morning quarterback from SI on Raider Nation Radio 920.
And thank you so much for listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness here on LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.